He doesn't need his name up in lights. He just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone, in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know. But no, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, talks, picking it up. Let's go.
Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but still even him starstruck. Humble through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him because he makes a living from.
We got two games to show what kind of pride we have. I think our seniors will lead the way. We had a bunch of seniors playing really good football today, and hopefully they'll continue out for the last 2 weeks.
All right, it's a bye-bye-bye week. Welcome. Into the zone. That's yours. Justin Anchory joined by Chris Kane. He's announcing his presence with authority by throwing the rundown off to the side.
In your face.
Matty T's in the house. What's up, player?
What's up, man? Uh-oh. I like how Chris walked in like it's 1950s with his glass Coke bottle.
Hey, what's up with that, Chris Kane?
I like these Cokes. I think these are the Cokes from Mexico.
What do they say up top?
Did you get that at the Sandlot?
Medio litro.
What does that
medio,
mean?
Medio litro. I think it's a liter of cola.
Oh. Playing for pride, drinking Coke.
No high fructose corn syrup in this big guy.
Another day in the zone. I only drink things with extra MSG and high fructose corn syrup, so I'm out on that.
Well,
what's your favorite soda pop?
Me?
Give us a call.
Soda
no,
pop?
I was giving it to the listeners.
I didn't know that was going to be a topic today. That's cool.
He's controlling the show now. You know that.
Well, look, he's in from the control. Best. It's a Canadian. That's a Christina LaCure move right there. I like it. She's not until tomorrow, Matt. You're a day ahead of schedule. What you're a heavy Coke drinker, huh?
No, actually, not really at all. But
I mean, you drink Coke heavy. You don't drink Coke Diet.
Oh yes.
Or Coke Zero.
Oh no, I can't do. I'm okay with Coke Zero.
And
Coke
you drink
Diet,
Coke,
I just can't
not
do it.
Smoke it like Rob Ford.
Coke Diet or Diet Coke, as it were.
I can't do it.
It's like calling it State Arkansas University.
The Coke Diet.
Yes, I'm a Diet Mountain Dew man myself, but I don't drink but maybe five a year.
I can't do diet really anything, I don't think. Diet Mountain Dew,
that's because you're young and thin. When you get old and fat like I am, you'll be willing to do it. You're like, that's only 120 calories. Hey, they all add up, big guy.
All of them.
By the time he's your age, though, they're going to find out that Diet Coke gives you cancer. So.
That's good. That's fine.
They already did.
That's cool. I don't think that's true, actually.
When mice.
It's a Top 10 Tuesday. I'm not a mouse. I'm a rat. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Top 10 Tuesday today in the zone. A story we've been trying to get to for months, and we're finally going to get to it today. The top 10 worst NFL teams in history. And, man, the worst day ever. Worst day ever today. All I have now, because the Razorbacks can't seem to win a game. My alma mater is horrendous, and I mean horrendous. I don't have anything to live for. The Packers are done. It's over. I'm trying to get on the Saints wagon. I think I want to be a Saints fan now going
No,
forward.
We've talked about this in the past. You are on that wagon. So you're at least hanging off the back.
My point is, all I have left, Chris, is to hate. All I have left is to drag others down into my own personal hell or maybe a notch or two lower. So last night, something terrible happened. Something horrible. Something I could never have hoped for. It was terrible, terrible, terrible. I'm not shocked by the outcome, but it is disappointing. I really, really wanted to see Greg Schiano and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers suffer through an entire season completely winless.
Now, wait. Mainly Greg Schiano.
True.
Not the team, because it's not their fault
that
he's the head coach, right?
It's not their fault that he's the
head coach.
You don't
want to wish that against the players.
No,
just
I do.
Mainly him.
I want them all to suffer. I think they did Glennon bad. I think the whole thing has been a debacle. And the players buy into it. They do the crap that he wants them to do. The thing that gets me the worst is at the end of the game, where they'll dive in at guys.
They got to get paid.
Yeah, but that's not. That's
just. I'm not saying it's right, but you're going to do just like whenever a coach tells you, hey, run out there and run that route, run out there and hit that guy.
I would play defensive back, so it wouldn't matter because nobody's going to expect me to dive in anybody's legs. But if I was a lineman, I'd like to think I'd go, look, that's not okay. I can't do that. I can't do it.
Well, didn't they already say? You were talking about yesterday. His players are not with him. That locker room is highly divided.
Well, it all depends. After they win, he gets a few more guys back. Every time they win, he'll get a few guys buying back
in.
It's
not going to happen often.
Here's how it ended last night. Oh, I'm so mad. Stupid Dolphins.
They'll hand the ball off running left. Bobby Rainey to the corner. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Bobby Rainey's got his first career touchdown. That's a kid off the Bears practice squad. And there, fire those cannons. Fire them. Fire them again.
Shoot them.
Fire them for Warren Sapp. Fire him for Bobby Rainey. Fire him for the Buccaneers. We score in the fourth. Fourth and 27. Tannehill drops. Looks for Wallace on the far side. Throws the ball downfield. Far side of the field. It is and intercepted at the 34-yard line by Darrell Revis on his island. He picks the Dolphins. He played against him for six games with the New York Jets, and he has a pick, and the Bucs will win this game with 95 seconds remaining.
Coach Ciano is great, man. I think he gets a bad rap all the time, and I think it's unnecessary, and a lot of it's not true. All of it's not true, everything people say about him. And he's a great guy, man of God, and, you know, he's all about winning. That's it.
Hmm. Is that what he is? You see what happens, Chris? They win a game, and now all of a sudden they're a decent team, and Ciano's a decent guy.
Gerald
McCoy. Gerald McCoy.
He's a good guy.
I have no problem with Gerald McCoy. Yeah. I don't like Greg Ciano. Anyway, that's bothersome to me, but they screwed it up. I really wanted them to go 0-16 so badly, and my hope of dragging other teams down so I will feel better about myself and my team comes to an end last night. Nobody's
still
going on this now.
But they're still so far below any of your teams.
I know, but 1-15 is still bad, but I want it to be an epic fail. I want it to be horrendous. I want them to be talked about among the worst teams ever.
They still might.
Yeah, but 0-16 is special. That means something.
Nah, I get that. The Lions hold that. And actually, the Buccaneers of years past hold that, too. A guy from Deadspin wrote a great article earlier today. I say great, but you know it was very amusing. It's called Florida Ruined the NFL. Barry Petschke is his name. And it goes and breaks down last night's game and basically talks about how it was so terrible and both teams are so bad and the entire state's an embarrassment for the NFL.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it is.
Who's going to argue that, right?
No one. It's amusing.
I do want to give some credit. There are two schools that are relevant in the postseason play, I guess, arena in college football in the state. That would include, and if I'm missing somebody, my apologies, but that would include A-State. Yesterday, Adam Kennedy named the Sun Belt Conference Offensive Player of the Year for the second time this season. Had 300...
Offensive Player of the Week?
Yeah, what did I say, year?
Yes.
Yeah, Offensive Player of the Week. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, no problem.
337 total yards, responsible for three touchdowns, career high 102 rushing yards as well. So good for him. A big day. They win. They stay relevant in the race. Now, they'll have to get some help to win the conference, but they are on their way to probably getting an opportunity to play in the postseason in a bowl game. And then, of course, Henderson State, the undefeated Reddies, taking on their cross-street rivals, Ouachita Baptist, in the Battle of the Ravine this very weekend. We visited with Todd Knight yesterday, and I think Scott Maxfield is going to be in the zone next Monday. I'm going to be off, but R.J. Hawk, the color analyst for the Henderson State Reddies, will be there at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, and I think Coach is going to join them probably by phone next week. So. But anyway, that's a big one. But those two teams are the only ones that really have a shot. And by the way, they have apparently moved up a slot, I believe. And I don't know how all this works. Apparently, these other two teams that are ahead of them are really good.
Yeah.
But Henderson is ranked third in the region, and it's the top six teams, I believe, that go in into the postseason from each region.
Yes. The way RJ broke it down to me a couple weeks ago was it is basically win out or you might not be in the postseason, even with one loss, which is incredible to think about.
I think they would get in with one loss, but, you know, you could
with
argue
the way that they're beating teams.
Yeah, I just, you know, you look at the three teams behind them that are still, you know, eligible if the season were to end today to go to the playoffs, all have one loss too. So, you know, Minnesota Duluth has become a national power. Pittsburgh State, which is in Kansas, and Emporia State. These are all very, very good Division II teams. But I got to think with Henderson State's record, it would have helped them probably if they'd won a couple of games in the postseason last year. But Northwest Missouri State, Minnesota State, which is in Mankato, and Henderson State is third. They're all undefeated. They're the only undefeated teams in the Region 3 rankings. But I think they could probably afford a close loss to a crosstown rival that happens to be 7-2 on the season.
Yes, two losses, 7-2.
I don't know why they've only played 9 games and Henderson's played 10, but so be it.
Huh.
I don't know.
I don't know.
This is their last game. I know that. So, anyway, doesn't matter. Henderson will be a heavy favorite to win, although the game is being played across the street at Ouachita Baptist. And you know how it goes in these rivalry games. Just about anything can happen, especially
anything.
When you've got two good teams. I do like Ouachita's balance. Hopefully that's a good game. But anyway, jockstrap to Greg Ciano for winning a game last night. Extremely disappointed.
Is that the first jockstrap you've ever given to someone for winning something?
Probably. We need to talk about the Heisman a little bit later. We do have Jim Harris coming in at 11 o'clock today, or coming on, I should say. Emo is going to call in. Ernie Murray at 11:30. We'll talk some Razorback hoops with him. Razorbacks play again on Friday. Scored 99 points in the opener against SIU Edwardsville. Admittedly a lesser than opponent, but a very impressive victory. So that
yes.
was good.
Yes.
Last night saw UALR play in person. They got knocked off by the Ospreys. Trojans.
Underrated team, though. UNF.
No, very good team.
By the way, only lost by 8 on the road at number 10 Florida to open the season. So it's not like it was a nobody.
Which, by the way, UALR will get a chance to play in the round robin. They're playing Florida next.
That's right.
And Joe Klein was on the show yesterday. We talked about a couple of things, including his assessment of his team. He, you know what his assessment was? We can score the basketball, and we're not rebounding very well. Well, that was exactly right. Truer words were never spoken. And the last time you heard UALR is scoring pretty well, that's a unique deal, because normally it's defense rebounding and not a lot of offense from them. But now they're actually scoring. They've got quite a few guys who are more than happy to take shots. And last night, though, they get out-rebounded 41-29.
It showed in a couple sequences last night, UNF was getting four rebounds in a row, and the putback opportunities were there every single time. And eventually, they got one and a foul, and so it hurt them on the boards. And I think the size advantage for UNF, they had their center was towering over the couple guys whenever UALR put in their small lineup, and it wasn't a fair matchup for a while until Neighbor came in finally to even things out.
I don't know what the deal is with this kid, Banks. He was like, he had to be close to 7 feet.
He was very close. He was huge. Yeah.
He only played 13 minutes, but he had a huge impact.
I saw all those 13 minutes, and he was good.
12 points in 13 minutes. He only had 3 rebounds, but they had a good plan, and they played well, and they rebounded well, and they won the game. And both teams actually shot the ball well. It was very fun. It was a fun, enjoyable game to watch. UALR was only 31% from beyond the arc, though. That was a struggle, but they did shoot the ball well from the line, 18-21, 85.7%. I don't know that there are any teams in America that would not be thrilled about that. But the bottom line is they lose by 72-70 after having a 4-point halftime lead. So disappointing, but again, when you play in the Sun Belt, it's all about winning the conference.
Yes.
You're probably not going to get in as an at-large. So if you're getting better, and like you said, that's a North Florida team that's pretty darn solid, and they're going to play a tough out-of-conference schedule. They're going to get to go to the Virgin Islands here in a couple of weeks. So lots of good things ahead for them, hopefully. And the Sun Belt seems to be fairly open.
ASU usually is.
Yeah, ASU should be very improved. This is Western's last year in the league, so a lot of transition
as far as
teams in and out. So it'll be interesting to see how things go. And Arlington, of course, joins now, and Texas State. So we'll see. Let's take some calls, and we will move on. Pete up first today in the zone. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Hey, fantastic. Driving to the airport. Hey, here's a Rick Schaefer trivia question for you. When was the last time a fan of the show's two favorite teams lost to two 0-8 teams in a row? I'm a 40-year Dolphins fan, and I've been going to every single Titans game once a year since 97, and both teams laid an egg. Titans came out flat on Sunday, laid an egg to an 0-8 team. Got momentum and lost, and then of course my fish, did the same last night. Looked, absolutely stupid in the first half, and they're a much better team than that. So I thought that was funny.
Are they?
And then, go ahead.
Are they really? I don't know. They're much better. They might be slightly better.
Didn't the Dolphins start 3-0?
Fisher young man. No, Fisher. Listen, I mean Tannehill, the young defense. We really are, I thought we were going to be a Carolina where we started strong, we're finishing weak. Don't really think the controversy has that much to do with them. They say they don't talk about it in the locker room.
Yeah,
we did lose two starters, so that has as much to do as anything. But anyway, kind of a bad 2 days.
Pete, hugs out to you, man. Hang in there.
All right.
I feel your pain. Speaking of that, Ryan Tannehill talked about it after the game. It's very much an issue. I'm sorry. Nobody can argue otherwise. And he made it. Look, there's the whole distraction part of it. And then there's the very real part of it. The very practical part of it is the fact that you are missing two offensive linemen who are starting for you. That is a huge impact on any team. And certainly a team that needs to have a lot of things go their way to win. It's a huge impact for a team like Miami.
I think we were ready to come into this game. Yes, we faced a lot of distractions, but before the game, leading up to this game, the last few days, I've had a good feeling that the guys are ready to play. They were playing for a reason, but the guys that played today stepped up and just off of first thought, played pretty good. Didn't really have much pressure until right there at the end. So we needed guys to step up, and they stepped up and played pretty well.
Indeed. But not well enough, apparently.
No, it wasn't like a blowout. It wasn't something to where...
It was a good game.
Well, it was an ugly good game.
It was a competitive game.
Yes, it was very competitive. And really, if you lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now, I know the Jacksonville Jaguars are absolutely terrible. But the Buccaneers, I think they just picked up a running back off the street. In fact, they're probably thinking right now, we should have let Peyton Hillis go at this point, because...
No doubt.
They are really suffering at running back. They lost another one last night, and I think they're on their third or fourth stringer at this point. But for the Dolphins to start, I think 3-0 and then fall behind, and now this happens to them. they're just taking a lot of steps back in an organization that had some promise with Joe Philbin coming from the Packers last year and at least building a little bit on a young quarterback like Tannehill. Now it's looking like they're backtracking a lot. And you mentioned the offensive linemen missing. When you think about that, two offensive linemen, when we talk about offensive linemen in the NFL, you talk about a tight-knit group that sticks together. All of a sudden, two of them are just gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two guys who are backups have to step in. We talk about the talent level, too, and the consistency of an offensive line working together, and now two of them are gone.
Yeah.
That's tough to overcome on any level.
I think it's a very real, practical issue, and I think they'll probably struggle the rest of the way. I mean, their karma can't be too good either right now. Can't imagine.
Hashtag?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Former NFL head coach Mike Ditka spoke about the Richie Incognito situation on Sunday NFL Countdown. He says, I want to say one thing. If I was the coach, I wouldn't have either Incognito the bully or the baby, Martin, on my team. That's me. Does that make me right? No. That makes me. And I would stand up to that because you don't do what Martin did and you don't do what Incognito did, period. Calling him a baby. In a Mike Ditka type way. That is the most Ditka type statement I've ever heard from Ditka.
It is.
Beautiful. Also, another thing that jumped out at me, we didn't talk about it yesterday, but a 51-41 win for Texas A&M. The most Manziel-like game.
Ever.
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 The guy throws five touchdowns. He runs all over the place. He throws for like 500 yards.
Yeah.
And he throws three interceptions, and they give up 41 points. That was the most Johnny Manziel game ever.
And possibly his last game ever at Aggie Stadium, or whatever the stadium's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Texas
A&M. Kyle Field.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, at Kyle Field.
Yeah, I imagine it will be.
Yeah. They even said, Johnny Manziel and the 13 seniors make their way for their last game. They weren't even sugarcoating it. They weren't even trying to hide the fact that he's gone.
I would love to see him come back one more year, but I don't think he will.
No way.
We're going to talk about the Heisman potential again. The latest odds are out. Championship odds are out. I think a Florida State-Alabama game would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I also think that regardless of whether Baylor ends up in the championship game or BCS game, I hope they do win the Big 12 because it would be a lot of fun to see them play in a high-profile game against a high-profile opponent.
Yeah.
I don't know who they'd end up against, but that'd be fun. Get Jackie in here. Hey, Jackie.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question about basketball. I seen in the paper where UCA was starting four guards and a forward, and the forward was only like 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
Is this out of necessity? I mean, is this something that he's wanting to do, or is this because they're shorthanded?
Yeah, they've got their best player is not available to start the season, so they're having to sort of tweak things, and there'll be more young faces in the lineup early on than there probably would have been, but there are a couple of guys that have been suspended for whatever reason. To start the season, they won't be available till semester. So I think you probably do the math on that. And that's a huge blow for them, for a team that was going to, you know, again, they've gone through the whole transition without Coach Williamson. Coach Finley certainly was in the program, so it is not as huge an impact maybe as it would have been if they had to, you know, change coaches and had a completely different situation and different idea of what they were trying to do. But it's, I mean, that's a tough deal for sure to lose a couple of guys that you were counting on to play heavy minutes. So. I'm not really in basketball mode yet, but definitely starting the season, that will be an impact.
Yeah. Well, all right, man. That's all I got.
All right, Jackie, thank you. Yeah, it's weird because last night I'm walking into the Jack Stevens Center, and I ran into first of all, I ran into your boy Tiger Bait. Second of all, I ran into Tracy Peterson, and I was like, I cannot believe that we're doing this basketball thing now already.
I know.
It just doesn't – where did football season go? It has been so fast. I don't know what – maybe it's because I'm getting older. Things seem to be going quicker. But this football season seems like it started like 2 weeks ago. Maybe it's because we've been shutting out the Razorbacks so much because of all the negativity around
it. Talked about them as much, yes.
Not nearly as much.
No.
So
it's tough to harp on a lose, you know, another losing streak. It extends. It's tough to keep harping on that. And no one really, I don't think, want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, again, it's good to focus on other people who are worse than us. So we're going to focus on our top 10 list coming up. The worst NFL teams ever.
Ever?
According to this list.
Well.
Doesn't make it true, it just makes it the list.
I know one.